Like cash being wasted on John Lackey, so are the days of our lives. Fenway Park Edition.
There does seem always to be a piece of melodrama floating around.
On the next episode of this soap opera.
You know, everyone's trying to get the manager fired.
But Bobby's not surprised.
Well, from what I gather, it's common, it's what happens here.
Larry picks a scapegoat.
The press has been brutal, to be sure.
And Tom Werner becomes delusional.
Every year we seem to run off a 9 or 10 game winning streak, so maybe this will be the start of something.
Josh Beckett continues to suck.
It's a work in progress, I guess. Still shitty results.
The players have secret meetings.
Sources inaccurate. He says that I was animated and one of the most vocal guys in the meeting, and that's false.
Will Carl Crawford's elbow fall off?
The elbow situation's kind of trending in the wrong way.
Will Bobby Valentine be fired?
I guess a decision will be made one way or another.
Find out on the next Days of Our Lives, Fenway Park Edition.
Baseball is filled with great moments in history that everybody seems to know. But I'm here to tell you, some of the things you think you know never happened. Myth. Bill Buckner cost the Red Sox the 1986 World Series. Wrong. Game 6 of the 1986 World Series was already tied when the ball went through Bill Buckner's legs. If he had made the play, it just would have gone on to the 11th inning. And guess what? That didn't end the World Series either. There was a whole other game to play. And in Game 7, the Red Sox took a 3-0 lead, thanks in part to two hits and a run scored by Bill Buckner.
I was not aware of that.
Why did the Red Sox lose the World Series? Reliever Calvin Schiraldi lost Game 6 and 7. When you lose the last two games of the World Series, I think you deserve a little more of the blame than Bill Buckner.
I hate to say it because I missed a ground ball, but that's the way it goes.
Myth. They used to play for the love of the game, and they didn't care about money. Reality. Did you know that Babe Ruth was willing to sit out a season during the Great Depression unless he got a big pay raise? Did you know that Joe DiMaggio and Sandy Koufax and Don Drysdale all sat out looking for bigger contracts? Loyal? They weren't loyal. They were not allowed to go to other teams. There was no free agency back then. Myth. Baseball was invented by Abner Doubleday in Cooperstown, New York. Here are the facts. Not only did Abner Doubleday not invent baseball, there's no evidence to show he even heard of baseball. But baseball needed a good origin story to root it in Americana. So why not attribute it to a Civil War veteran in upstate New York? The problem is the only person who ever corroborated the Abner Doubleday story wound up in a mental institution. But the people of Cooperstown thank him every day. Myth. Jose Canseco is a lying sleazebag. Well, he may be a sleazebag, but he sure isn't a liar. Everything that he wrote turned out to be true. In fact, I believe Jose Canseco more than I believe anyone on the planet Earth. Certainly a lot more than I would trust Bud Selig.
What's up, everybody? It's Andrea, the Red Sox fan. I'm all alone so far. We had some trouble getting in touch with each other, being couch potato Sonny Clark this morning, so we postponed the show a half hour, and it looks like maybe I need to postpone it a little bit longer, but we will give him a little bit to call in and see how that works for us. Otherwise, I'll just reschedule the show, and we'll do this all over again. This is like practice run. So, okay, it's getting to be the end of baseball, and it's pretty exciting. Pretty exciting games going on, a lot going on in baseball. It is exciting because teams that aren't contending are still putting up numbers that are still going to have an effect on teams that are contending. So it's exciting. And we're going to see a lot of young pitchers. You know me and my young pitchers. I'm a fan. So maybe we'll talk a little bit about some young pitchers. And let's just go over some notes from yesterday. The Orioles beat the White Sox 5-3. Zach Britton comes out, strikes out 10 batters. And it's funny because if anybody asks you the question, and don't look it up, name just two Baltimore Orioles starters. Just name two that you know, like off the top of your head, and you'll just stand there flabbergasted. You'll be like, shoot, that Asian guy, but I can't remember his name. And then you'll say, maybe Chris Tillman. And you'll say, oh, well, they just got Joe Saunders. But other than that, I really can't say who's a Baltimore starter. It's funny. You look at their rotation, you look at their pitching, and Jim Johnson, sure, but he only pitches an inning. Okay, yeah, he's been doing well. That's not going to get you through games. You really do have to rely on your pitching in the American League East for the most part. So it's interesting that Baltimore has such no-name pitchers out there in, you know, being a feasible part of their rotation, and they're still getting – I mean, this is the offensive this is obviously the offense doing this for them. I mean, Adam Jones has been crazy good this year, and they've had a lot of really good offense going on. So, but it is interesting to think they haven't even had a fifth starter on their depth chart for several months now, if ever. So that's interesting, and they did just get Joe Saunders to help them out. So we'll see what happens with that. They still win games. They win a lot of games by one run. And last night with Zach Britton striking out 10 batters, he gets it back down to the minors. And just a couple weeks ago, Couch Potato and I were talking about Steve, I think it's Steve Johnson is his name. Anyway, he just comes up and pitches real good, and then they turn around and they send him back down to the minors, and they don't have a fifth starter, and I'm all confused about that, you know, because I'm thinking this guy could be good. So now they do the same thing to Zach Britton. It's really weird that they would that they feel so comfortable sending these minor leaguers back down, you know, after one start here, one start there. Zach Britton is a prospect, and he's going to be most likely in their rotation next season. So it's interesting to me, you know, he seems to have a spot wide open. It is interesting that they would send him back down, not only because they need him, number one, and number two, he should be getting ready for next season, whether or not. The Cubbies and the Brewers, man, two teams scoring some runs, and it was funny, in Razzball, you know, they always do updates about their players. Ricky Weeks had, you know, 5 for 5, the other day, hit 5 out of 5 at bats, and the last time he had done that was, you know, in June or late June, early July, and he says maybe we should call him Ricky every 4 weeks because that's pretty much what we can rely on Ricky Weeks for. Jonathan Lucroy drove in 7 runs, and that's huge for a catcher. I mean, just in general, it's huge. That's his second 7 RBI game of the season, and the Cubbies still beat the Brewers. You know, the Brewers have some issues over there with their closer situation, and it seems, you know, right now, as far as fantasy goes, you're like, John Axford? Yeah, right, buddy. You have, I mean, when your closer has a 5-something ERA, you're just annoyed as all heck. But, you know, at this point, if you're down a couple of saves and you need a point here or there, you're going to keep John Axford because he, you know, he just got his 21st and 22nd save last week, so apparently, they haven't given up on him. So even with that horrible, horrible ERA, you're going to give John Axford a shot to stay on your roster. What up? Is it Couch Potato with a 1-1-1?
It is me. Hi, you doing? I'm sorry. I'm trying to do 5 things at once and lost track of time and what I was doing. How are you this morning?
Oh, now I'm just talking some baseball. No, I'm good. It's exciting right now. You know it's always exciting for me. What? That's like... is that something new? It's exciting for me right now. But it is. It's exciting because it's getting down to the wire, and all these games count. You know, whether or not you get stuck playing the Red Sox or Seattle, it doesn't matter that the two teams aren't contending for a playoff spot because they still they can still really hurt you. And Seattle, again, I think that people are underestimating what's, you know, that team has, you know, 4 games against Seattle, and then they go and play da-da-da, and it's like, buddy, I just laugh when I hear that because Seattle can beat anybody at any given time, just like any team can beat somebody at any given time.
Yeah, and you're looking at them. They're a little bit below 500. Yeah, they're behind. And but you're right. If you also take a look at, you know, I know they've been blown out in a couple games, but I bet you, and this is just off the top of my head, I bet you if you look close, that they're not very far, you know, back in the losses. I don't think they've been blown out of the water so many times.
No, they haven't been blown out of the water.
Yeah,
that's the thing.
You can't look at them
they
and go, boy,
they're horrible.
They play respectable
baseball.
Yeah.
They play like, you know, they aren't the best team, no. Are they a threat? No. But when you're contending for a playoff spot and you have to go play in Seattle or Seattle's coming to you, just be aware that you can't say, you know, they're not Houston here.
Yes.
They definitely are on their way to contending in the American League West.
But no one wants to talk about that because they do have the schedule or they do have the record that they do. And in really, if you take a look at it, they're not very far away from the Los Angeles Angels in reality. They're only five games back from them. And everybody still talks about how the Angels might be able to slip up there and take this division. And I don't see how it's going to happen, especially with Oakland playing as well as they are right now. And they're probably
going to take that
wild card spot.
Hello, Oakland, again and again and again and again.
Hey,
this morning,
talking
the topic
about
is Baltimore
Oakland.
And Oakland.
You and I have been talking about them before talking about Oakland was cool. We've been talking about Oakland for the last 3.5 months on this show. And we told everybody with the young pitching that was going on, if they figured out a way to get the bats going, this could be a very, very tough team to beat. And look at, hey, it's always nice to be right every once in a while.
It was funny because I have this app on my phone. It's called RSS Baseball for any of you Android phone people out there, but it's a real good app. It carries, you know, you can click on any of the choices that you want to see the top articles of the day. Like they have Yahoo, MLB, they have trade rumors, they have fan graphs. I mean, all listed up in a row. So you can just click on any site you want, and it comes up with their top articles. And when you don't refresh it, it just stays. So the last time I had looked at it was before I went on vacation, like quite a while ago. Several months ago. I don't even know how it got that far back. But I pull it up, and the first thing I see is Brandon Inge is on wait, you know, was placed for, now he's a free agent again. And I'm like, oh, Brandon Inge is a free agent again. I wonder who's going to pick him up. And I wasn't surprised whatsoever. I'm like, oh, my gosh, this is from, like, June or April, you know.
Mm-hmm.
This is back before Oakland got him. But I like Oakland. I think that they, man, you got to love Oakland. I love them more than Baltimore. Before you came on, I was telling people, I was giving them the question, if they could name, you know, in your head, can you come up with, right off the bat, two starters in the Baltimore Oriole rotation?
Well,
no.
15, that's the problem.
Nobody can. Nobody knows it. Nobody knows.
I know,
because
I don't.
Well, you know, and Zach Britton, you remember last week or a couple of weeks ago, I was telling you, why did they bring this kid up and then just send him right back down after he has such a good showing? I know they want to bring up this stud hitter. I understand that. But there's got to be somebody that they could send down besides a fifth starter since they don't have one on their depth charts. Remember I was saying that?
Mm-hmm. Yes. And,
well, Zach Britton comes out last night and strikes out 10 batters. And mind you, they still don't have a fifth starter on their depth chart. So Zach Britton comes out, strikes out 10 batters, and they send him back down to the minors. Now, like, the difference between Zach Britton and the last guy I was talking about, I think his name is Steve Johnson, is that Zach Britton is a prospect. I mean, he may not be the number one prospect, but he is a prospect, okay? He's a starter, and if he's ready to come up to the major leagues and he strikes out 10 batters, the worst thing you could do for this guy is just send him back down, especially when you need him, okay, number one. And number two, the guy is – you're kind of looking to the future that this guy is going to be part of your rotation next year. If he does good, what is the reason to send this guy back down?
I think it does. It will affect, and plus, more than the fact that you'll get to see him in this pressure time of the year, too. Keep him up so you can learn something about. Hey, I love seeing the names that we're not normally used to seeing up there. Three games back of the Yankees are the Baltimore Orioles. Are we saying Baltimore's going to win this division? No. But
no, hell no,
still
dude.
Nice
Baltimore's
going to
flail out because of their pitching. I'll guarantee
that's just
it.
The way it. Well, that's just the way it works. But that's what I like to see. It makes it exciting going into this new wild card setup for the playoffs.
No, I absolutely agree. Even though, you know, I'm a Red Sox fan, And there's nothing more than I would love to see the Yankees go down because, you know, they all think they got it all together. They don't. And, you know, it's going to come down to this. I don't even think that the second wild card is going to – I don't think there's going to be two wild card teams from the AL East if they continue to play the way they are. I just don't think that it's going to matter, but I don't see Baltimore, dude. I don't see them getting in it. I just don't. But what are you going to say? I believe that it's because of decisions like this one that their pitching is going to fail. It's not because they don't have the best pitchers. It's because they send them back down and they pull them back up. What's that going to do for a guy that just struck out 10 batters for you? You send them back down to the minors? It's not like you have another star hitter that you got to bring up right away because your offense is struggling. Man, you have an offense that has gotten you this far, but you better put some, you know, you better put some worth in your pitching because it does matter and it will catch up with them. I mean, I can't believe it hasn't so far, really.
Sooner or later, it will be. And they are getting some young, but they get past. Hey, but it was interesting. I was listening to, you know, the managers of the year and stuff like that as far as what's going on in American League and Major Leagues. I don't know. How are the White Sox silently being overlooked going into these playoffs? And maybe it's me, and maybe it's because I'm kind of used to it, but no one's talking really a lot about the White Sox and what they're doing in their division, and as far as that, the American League.
That's because Ozzie Guillen's not there anymore to
yes.
make us stink, okay? And nobody's paying attention because nobody's talking for him. You know, Ozzie was so loud and so vocal that you couldn't help but notice the White Sox all the time. I mean, they made a bunch of deals last year, and nobody really thought they were going to be that good this year, but they're hitting, and their pitching has been solid, and Chris Sale is a deal breaker. I mean, and also, who's their closer there that they just threw in there?
Sale's there.
Addison
yeah.
Reed.
Yeah.
Well,
and they got a tough three-game set coming up against the Tigers here.
Yeah, look at the set coming up this weekend. It's going to be a great day for baseball, all 3 days, like today, tomorrow, and Sunday. You know, you hear a lot of people talking about the matchups from here on out, and I don't put a ton into it because I think that teams going into a situation that they think that they can win easily puts them at a worse advantage than playing a team that's over 500. Because you have your head in the game, you know this team is tough, and you're going to play with all your heart. You go into a series with Houston, and you're probably out getting, you know, riding the bull the night before or whatever. I mean, you know
forget
what I mean?
Beer
like, drink some beers
beer,
and
beer
eating
in the
peanuts.
Dugout.
So, do you understand my point, though? I mean, it's easy to talk about those matchups. I don't know how much they really do matter.
I think this one, though, the White Sox and the Tigers, though, I think this is one that you got to take a look at. Only, you know, three games out of the
wild
card. Oh,
yes, because they're competing. They're contending against each other.
Yeah, this is a vital three-game set, in at least this weekend. That was the set that I'm going to watch this weekend if I can find it somewhere on TV.
You can come to my house. I can DVR
yeah.
for it. I got
yeah.
the channels, all of them for sure. I'll help you get it on the computer if you don't have it. I will help you get it.
Yeah, these are going to be really, really good. This is going to be a good three-game set this weekend.
So, and another thing, this is not even speaking of the White Sox in Detroit, because, I mean, any time we have this right now, the Texas Rangers playing the Angels or, you know, Baltimore playing
yeah.
the Yankees or anything like that going on, you know, any interdivision rivalries, competing teams, that's different. I mean, that's totally different because you just have each other, you know.
Right.
You could make up 2-1 in the same day. But another thing about playing teams that are under 500 – these teams are the teams that are going to be bringing up the new pitchers, you know, the ones that I love to pick up, the ones that I just am so excited about. They do well at first, no matter how good they are, because nobody's ever seen them pitch. So the best team can go in and play the worst team if they have one prospect that has a halfway decent slider or curveball that they have never seen. They can fake them out, too, just as easy as any other team. I mean, you haven't seen the pitcher. You don't know what to expect. You can prepare for that. These clubs going and facing these under 500 teams, it doesn't fool me, dude, at all.
Yeah, and you know, interesting. We were talking about Baltimore. They got the Yankees this weekend. We'll find out how real the Baltimore Orioles pitching staff is, which we all know it's kind of like a pretender kind of thing going on, more so than contender. Even though the Yankees have not been playing good baseball, Yeah, they do well at home, though. They're 40-26 at home. They're doing well at home. So Baltimore is going to get a taste of what real playoff baseball. And if they are not in playoff mode right now, they could be in a lot of trouble heading toward the rest of it. And you know, right now they're hanging on to the wild card game. But I just don't know, because you know, another team that's playing well is Tampa Bay, and you can't rule them out. You could rule out Boston and Toronto. No offense. Tampa Bay is a team that they're capable of, you know, just ripping off some games, but they have been playing great, but they can sneak up on you, and that's one thing about the Rays I like.
Okay, the Orioles going into the Yankee Stadium, I think their only disadvantage is the Yankee Stadium and the fans, because it gets very loud in there and the fans are very passionate about their team. Although, you know, going into Yankee Stadium, being one of the best hitters park in baseball and seeing the offense that the Orioles have put together, okay, I don't think they're scared. I think they're ready to make some connection with some balls and hit that out of the park. I mean, we can't say that the Yankees have that solid of pitching right now. I mean, we don't even know when Andy Pettit's coming back for sure. I mean, that was a day or two ago. They say he's close, so any day, whatever. But, you know, I don't think they're that worried. I don't think that the Yankees have as much as people think they have, but they do have the fans, and they do have their own home field advantage. Tampa Bay, that's another team that's interesting. They're the only team in the American League East that has the solid pitching that I'm – and if my theory's right that this American League East is going to come down to pitching, then Tampa Bay definitely isn't out of it by any means, although their offense is so horrendous that – it makes you wonder how good they're pitching. I mean, how far can you get on just pitching when your offense is this bad?
But here's the thing. You can start lighting it up with the bat. When you got bad pitching, that just shows through. It's almost like you're ugly, you know, compared to beauty. Beauty's only skin deep, but ugly goes all the way through. Same thing with pitching, you know. If you need some bats, and if you can get the bats to show up, you got a chance, and that's why Tampa Bay is intriguing, especially going there. If they do decide to start hitting, if they can put it together going in here for the next, 3 weeks, they can make a run for that wild card. And frankly, I'm going to be honest, and just because I don't trust what's going on with Baltimore, I picked Tampa Bay just because of experience, because there's none there for Baltimore, and Tampa Bay has been known to slide into the playoffs, and look what they've done. You can't deny what they've done in the past.
No, you can't. And you know, you can say that, I don't know what's more important, but I do believe that the American League East is going to come down to pitching, only because every team has shady pitching, and the one good team with pitching is Tampa, and you can't argue it. You know, nobody can argue the fact that they have the best rotation by far. I mean, their rotation, and is it good enough to just keep the other teams from scoring? Yeah, well, it has been, and it probably could continue to be, and like you said, this team is not I'm trying to look up the schedule because I want to see. That is one interesting thing for me to see who they play because of the fact that they're relying on pitching. I want to see who they're playing for the next.
Going up against some hitters, maybe, right?
Yeah, let's see. Do you my stupid computer? Because I don't have.
I'm actually making coffee as we speak. So
okay, well,
I'm not in front of mine.
As I get it pulled up, but well, my computer is designed to either die or let me plug
it
in.
I have it right here, actually. I'll just walk back in here. I'll tell you, at least as far as this week, Tampa Bay, they got Toronto this weekend, and that's not a walk in the park. That's going to be a tough. That's going to be a tough set right away.
I disagree, man. Ricky Romero hasn't even won a game like all season. If you're a fantasy owner of Ricky Romero, you feel like he hasn't won a game ever. This guy is single-handedly ruined seasons this year, and Toronto has had just. I think that's the best matchup they could possibly hope for, actually.
Here we, here we go. The next home games that they got are the Yankees, Rangers, and Red Sox. And, you know, the Red Sox are always going to play, so you can't really count those, you know. You can expect them to be close, because they are going to be out there and playing hard. Here's the situation. I got Tampa Bay, Twins, Mariners, and then the Angels, Royals.
Sweet.
Yeah. Then they got the Athletics, then the Rangers, then the Blue Jays yet again. So, and that's for the rest of August. Going into September, they got Yankees again, Rangers again, Red Sox. My gosh, there's 4-game set against the Red Sox, then the Blue Jays, Red Sox yet again, and then the White Sox to finish out September. So, and then they finish off with the Orioles at home.
Now, it looks like they, in the recent games, they played against Kansas City and they played against Oakland. They lost 2 out of 3 to Oakland and they won 2 out of 3 to Kansas City. In Toronto, it looks like, the Twins, whatever. I'm just interested in the pitching, that's all. I think the pitching is going to be good. So, I mean, I can sit here and analyze every game, but we don't have time for that. I'll do that later. Okay, what about Bryce Harper last night? Let's just talk about my boys.
Keep you happy. We're talking about the Washington Nationals. You say what you want, but I'm finally gonna step out on the limb and say the Washington Nationals are the team to beat this year, going into the World Series. If they don't make the World Series, I will be surprised.
I'm telling you right now, they're going to the World Series and they're gonna win it. Because once they get there, there's no stopping them. I love them, okay?
I know you do, but American League hitting, that's the only thing I worry about.
What about American League hitting? Our pitchers hit home runs. We don't need it.
I understand that.
We don't need a DH.
But depending on who they play, I mean, at that point, experience when it comes into the playoffs and to the World Series, and you and I both know that.
It's
even though sometimes you'd want to deny
it. Okay, I can't think of any National League team. I can't think of a National League team that can beat them. Now,
I can't think of that either,
but
that doesn't mean that they won't bow to the pressure of being in something new, and something new, which could be playoffs or World Series or whatever the case may be. Could you imagine this team?
Of course, dude. Of course. I mean, Santa Claus could smoke weed.
Well, hold on. I mean, you take a look at the Texas Rangers. Two times on two pitches away from the World Series, winning the World Series. Clutch is what it's all about, and that's what they need to do. They need to be clutch going through the rest of the season and figuring out ways to win in the playoffs. I don't want to say clutch in the playoffs in reality, because they need to figure out how to win games instead of fluke wins.
You know, last night was an interesting battle between the Nationals and the Cardinals, too, and I can't even say that it was a battle. I mean, I'm so proud of them. They really brought out a problem for, you know, that the Cardinals are facing right now, which is, you know, it hasn't really been in the news that big, but after they went 28 innings without scoring a run, they finally scored a run, but not until the 8th inning, and I think that's why it was highlighted so much in this game, is that here's another 8 innings or 7 innings go by, so it went from 21 innings, which, you know, teams do that, whatever. The Cardinals hadn't scored a run in 28 innings until the 8th inning, and the Nationals were scoring all over Jaime Garcia, who
yes.
I believe is one of a very good pitcher, strong pitcher, and yeah, he's just coming back off the DL, although to watch the Nationals rule the Cardinals that way, it just made me feel that much more confident about their National League position as far as just getting to be the National League champions this year.
Yeah, I don't expect them not to show into these playoffs.
And what
I really don't.
Edwin Jackson? This guy just does exactly what they hired him for. Just eat up some innings, buddy, because we have a bunch of young guys. Maybe they're not going to eat up innings. We don't care if you strike out a billion batters.
We don't even care if you're all that great either, but he is actually doing very well.
And then Bryce Harper, you know, gets thrown out of the game.
That's fire, in my opinion.
For nothing.
Yeah, that's fire. That's a desire and fire within himself.
He didn't even do anything, but you know it's cool because it just means and the way that he dealt with it was just good to watch.
That's the key.
Him.
That's the key. How he's going to how he dealt with it is the whole key, especially when it comes to a young guy who, you say what you want. You can like him, hate him, or whatever, but he is still a guy that is going to gain attention. People listen.
He's a leader,
and how
dude.
He handles it, exactly. He's priming to himself to become a leader more so than it being handed to him. He wants to be the leader, and he's doing that himself, which
I think
is good for him, too.
Oh, for sure. And this guy's got the personality of a leader, dude, whether anybody likes it or not. And, you know, what we're seeing right now is that he's not only a leader just because he's a leader and people are going to follow him no matter what he does. This is the type of person that can make or break your club, dude. I mean, if he's a positive guy, he's a Jason Veritek, okay? If he's not a positive guy, he is a cancer in that clubhouse. And Bryce Harper, as young as he is, has done nothing but impress me as far as his leadership qualities, because he's been a good example for everybody on that club and he pumps up everybody.
Yeah, and I'm going to be very, very interesting to see how he handles the pressure, mainly. I mean, two young guys, I mean, you got Strasburg, of course, being who he is. I just want to see how they deal with the new added pressure of going deep into the playoffs. That's what I'm interested in seeing going into these playoffs, especially from the Nationals.
Justin Verlander started yesterday against the Kansas City Royals to Bruce Chinn and Jeremy Guthrie or whatever. Bruce Chinn, Jeremy Guthrie pitched last night, but either way they lost 2-1. That's kind of interesting. And with, you know, hello, you score one run, it was just like the American League All-Star game. I mean, it was like, what in the world? You have the lineup from hell, okay? You can't score a run? I mean, this lineup has so much power on it, you could fly to the moon, okay? Nobody's hitting, right? So that is interesting. The Tigers, and Anibal Sanchez is coming around a little bit, by the way. And what about Brett Anderson? Have you had a chance to watch any of him?
I have not. I'll be honest. I have not seen a lot of Brett Anderson, no.
I haven't seen a lot of him either, to be honest with you. And I don't know why I haven't, like, searched him out or seeked him out. And, like, probably because I've been traveling all over the East Coast, maybe.
Mm-hmm. That's probably
but
it.
I have been reading up on him, and I have been paying attention to what he's doing. And this guy, I'm telling you, he's a make or break for Oakland, and he's making it.
Oh, yeah. I haven't necessarily seen what he's doing. All you see in the in the stats and everything else that's going on with him. But take away from that, this is just what I got. 14 inning pitch, 2 wins, 11 Ks, ERA of .64.
Hello.
Hello.
Exactly. Brett Anderson.
We were talking about him a long time ago, too. So, you know, it's coming together, girl. It's coming together.
I
look like geniuses here.
We are geniuses. That's why we have the most listeners out of anybody. Okay, that's why. Okay, the Giants 8, the Astros 4. Okay, that's okay. Whatever,
yeah.
That says nothing for us.
Well, no, it doesn't
know,
do anything, but it does. But one thing it does do, especially when you're talking about the West over there in the National League, which in my opinion they should just ship that whole division out and put them in the other divisions. I'm so fed up with that division because just when you think that one team is going to be really good, they all turn out really bad, and it just really drives me.
West?
No. The National League West. I'm not a fan. You said San Francisco, didn't you?
Oh, then I went to the Angels and Red Sox. Okay, you're on
San Francisco. That whole division. I'm sorry, and I'm going to get off track here. That whole division just makes me want to puke. San Francisco's running away with it because of pitching. But after that, the Dodgers. They're pretenders. They're not contenders. And the Arizona Diamondbacks. That's actually if I kind of put my hat on a team, it's that one. I can't even watch two or three innings of them because they're not that. They're just horrible.
The Arizona Diamond. Okay, look, man. You don't.
I like their potential, but they're not putting it together on the diamond. Sorry.
I think that the Dodgers made the stupidest trade in baseball history. That's what I think. Okay, and they should have learned by the fact that they're still paying Manny Ramirez that you don't take contracts from the Red Sox because they're Pawnee. I mean, and everybody talks about Adrian Gonzalez. I mean, I seriously, on Monday when you had to go, I hung up the phone. I was like, I got to call Tony C and see if he'll come on and rant with me about this trade a little bit. I just want to say my piece, you know, and I called Tony C and he came on and we hashed it out, you know. But
I gotta
and
Coffee that,
argued with me the whole time. He argued with every single thing I said, that the Red Sox made the worst trade in baseball history. What are they going to do with, you know, there's no free agents out there. I'm like, money trumps free agents, dude. Okay, there's a ton of players on a ton of teams that can't afford to pay them again, and they're going to trade them before their contracts are up because they can't afford to re-sign them. What do you think they're going to do? You don't have, they don't have to be free agents for a team like the Red Sox to acquire players. And now they just got rid of, I mean, just in Carl Crawford and Josh Beckett alone, $135 million, okay? I think you can buy just about any first baseman for $135 million, plus getting rid of Adrian Gonzalez. Now you have an extra $100 million, okay?
Yeah, exactly.
Go invest in some rookies. Invest yourself in some rookies like every other normal team does and rebuild what you gave away. They gave away so much. Josh Reddick is hitting like crazy. Anthony Rizzo. Okay, Justin Masterson hasn't been that good of late, but I believe that that was a mistake trading him. They go out, they've made some bad mistakes, and now they're cleaning house. And you know what? They have $261 million, and they owe $15 million in payroll.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how they handle that. I hate to do this again to you. My telephone is just ringing off. And here, just to let folks know, I've taken on a new venture where I'm calling high school football, and the telephone has been ringing off of the hook over here. I don't know if you've been hearing the clicking going on as we're talking.
No, I can't.
That's my phone going off.
You need to answer it or what?
I'm gonna have to bow. I would love to stay, but if you continue, if I can get this figured out really quick, I'm gonna call back in. Okay.
Okay, I'm gonna talk about some minor leaguers that are gonna come up here in the near future.
Okay, and then I'll try to get back in with you. Okay.
Righty.
All right.
Okay, so let's just go over some stuff, and I don't have the stuff memorized. I get my information off the two things that I have for you. One of them's from some information from Rasball, and the other one is from RotoWire, which I go through on a religious basis, and, you know, especially this time of year, because they have the Minor League Barometer by Jason Siegel that comes out, and he talks about the minor leaguers, and this time of year, it's September 1st, people. Tomorrow is September 1st. That means we're going to be calling up players. And, you know, another thing that I read about was the value of the pitchers versus the offense. And just, you know, to say that pitchers are so much more valuable at the beginning of the season, you know, for when you draft a pitcher, say Justin Verlander or whatever, if you're drafting him so high, you're basically like this month and last month, you can pick up all these new pitchers. I mean, look at Zach Britton, what he did last night. These are players that you can pick up to fill in your rotation that are going to be total feasible starters. And again, these young players, they have not been seen by any other team a lot of times. So it's fairly new. Whether they have the stuff of Steven Strasburg or not, they're still going to be feasible to use in your fantasy leagues. And I picked up several of them. We talked about Jason Fries from Milwaukee. You know, this is another guy that just keeps coming around and striking out batters. You know, dump him, don't dump him, whatever. This guy's getting it done. Milwaukee doesn't have anything to say. Okay, so here's a couple of players that Jesse Siegel from RotoWire discusses on to upgrade. These are outfielders, first basemen, pitchers, whatever. Henry Mejia for the Mets. And, you know, this guy used to be a totally elite prospect. I remember, like, just several years ago, seeing him down in the minors, watching him, trying to get him on one of my dynasty leagues because he was supposed to be something good. Well, it never really worked out for him because he ended up having Tommy John surgery, but now he's back from Tommy John surgery. And they don't know whether to put him in as a starter or reliever, but for the rest of the season, he's pitching out of the rotation, and he's expected to make a few starts for New York in September. He did struggle in his last start, but he's only 22, and before his last start, he only allowed two earned runs in five previous starts, a span of 24 innings. So he only allowed two earned runs in 24 innings, and he could definitely help you out in your NL-only league, which, trust me, I'm in third place in one of my NL-only leagues, and everybody was going out bidding all this money on Josh Beckett, and I said, you know what, forget it. They have three more dollars than me. They're going to bid a dollar more than I have to get Josh Beckett, and I'm going to sit here and laugh at him because I'm going to get every rookie that comes my way because I feel like I can get a lot more starts for $4 here or $4 there than investing all my fab money on Josh Beckett. I think that, you know, that was a little bit if people did that, it was out of haste and not really well thought out because the month of September is very important, especially if you're contending. Spending all your free agent money so that – you know, you have no money like the rest of them isn't going to give you any sort of advantage. It's just going to hurt you. So at this point, I have like 20 more dollars than anybody, so I can pick up any pitcher I want, and Henry Mejia is probably going to be one of them. And then I'll dump him when I want to pick up a different pitcher. Let's see, Jared Cozart. Jared Cozart's another guy. He really, probably for Houston, he's probably, I don't know, they don't have any great prospects, but he's a name, he's a prospect, he's like Zach Britton. I mean, he's not Steven Strasburg, but he's probably the best that Houston has coming up through their system. He had a 3.52 ERA and 68 Ks to 38 walks in 87 innings in AA, and then he moved to AAA, and he had a 3.32 ERA, and a 21K to 10 walk ratio in 21 innings. So, you know, this guy's had some injury problems, but we'll see what happens. I really believe, let's see, in three starts since returning from his injuries, he's induced a ton of ground balls. And I think that he's going to, well, we don't know what's going to happen. Watch for him, though. In the Astros rotation, if you see Jared Cozart and it looks like a decent matchup, he definitely has some talent, the most talent that Houston has coming up in their system. Shelby Miller, St. Louis. The only reason that Shelby Miller hasn't come up yet, I think, is because of the depth in the St. Louis rotation. And, you know, they have had some injuries this year, but they've been able to kind of rotate him around and deal with it. He's been really good in AAA. In the last 10 starts, he's had a 3.4 ERA, 65 strikeouts to 11 walks in the 55 innings. So he's struck out 65 batters in 55 innings. That's huge. That's good enough for me. And the batting average against is 220. So we'll see what happens. The Cardinals will have to make a decision on whether or not they want him to come up. You know, Lance Lynn started off the season very good, but we don't really know what – another guy, watch for Shelby Miller. He's definitely striking out a ton of batters, so that's a good thing. Chris Archer, Tampa Bay. Now, I don't know what – I'm just going to skip him because I hate – you know, I'm really not trying to recommend a guy – that I feel is, you know, coming up in a system that is so deep. I mean, they have Wade Davis sitting on the bench. That's how deep their rotation is. So, I mean, here's another guy, though, for next year. This guy's 23 years old. He's got a 2.1 ERA, okay? Tampa has a way of bringing up pitching like crazy. He struck out 47 batters in 51 innings. He's only walked 17 batters, and the batting average against is 196. So, yeah, he might not come up till next year, but Chris Archer is definitely a guy to look for next season because we all know and love Tampa Bay bringing up young pitching. Okay, Kyle MacPherson for Pittsburgh. Man, I don't know what Pittsburgh – Pittsburgh, okay, it was probably me living a dream and based on hope, just thinking that the Pittsburgh Pirates were going to, you know, continue to contend like through the season. But – and it looks at this point that they're probably, you know – about as out of it as you can get without, you know, basically saying mathematically we can't get there. But Kyle MacPherson, and that, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean that they're not going to bring up a great pitcher for you to throw in as a starter for, you know, your rotation one day. This Kyle MacPherson, man, he's been out of control in AAA. In three starts in AAA, he has a 0.98 ERA, 17 strikeouts, and four walks, and that's 18 innings. So striking out 17 batters, 18 innings, we love it. Walking only four guys, we like it. Control is good for him. Mound presence is good. It's his command that is going to get this guy noticed, and it's command that what keeps a pitcher good. So, you know, you can throw 120 miles an hour, but if you don't have any command or you can't throw anything but a fastball down the middle, then you're not a good pitcher. Kyle MacPherson is a good pitcher. He's got a good future. We'll see what happens with him entering, you know, I mean, we're going down the stretch. It's September. Are they ready to call him up? Yeah, I think so. The Pirates, man, if they don't have any hope for next year, they're crazy. I mean, if anything, what they have done for themselves this season is give themselves some hope. So I think that's interesting. His name is Kyle MacPherson, Pittsburgh Pirates. Now we can talk about some fielders. Yuri Perez, outfielder, Washington. So Yuri Perez, now everybody's talking about Anthony Rendon being brought up, and that's because he was 2011 first-round pick for Washington. You know, they had Storen, Strasburg, and then Rendon. And he's just battled injury problems on and off. He, like, basically ever since he was signed and ever since he was put into the minor leagues. So, I mean, he's batting 152 in Double A. So Yuri Perez would be the more likely candidate to be called up for the Nationals if they need an outfielder who runs really fast. I personally think they need a guy that's going to hit more power, but anybody that gets on base is fine by the Nationals. If they're going to call somebody up, it's probably going to be Yuri Perez. He would be able to steal some bats, and I don't really know where he would play in the outfield. That's another thing, too, with a team like this, is because you're not, for fantasy owners, an outfielder that only plays part-time is not that worthy. It's just not that good for you. Darren Ruff, first base, Philadelphia. Now, okay, first base, Philadelphia, you automatically think Ryan Howard. But this guy's 26 years old, so you know he's either going to be a minor league lifer or he's going to get called up, and nobody's more deserving than this kid of being called up. He's batting .359 with 18 home runs, 29 RBIs just this month. Just this month, though. 18 home runs this month in Double A. So, I mean, this guy was a 20th-round pick in 09. He kind of came out of nowhere. He had a good 2011 season, but his 2012 season is better. This guy's growing as a hitter and a player. So overall, he's hitting .317 with 36 home runs and 96 RBIs in 132 games. So I don't know where they put him, but, after, you know, the last trick with Jimmy Rollins and all this and the fact that none of those players are getting – any younger. I'm certain that the Philadelphia Phillies can find a spot for this guy. And also for the Phillies, Tyler Cloyd. Sorry, my cell phone. Okay. He's a pitcher. Now, this kid, Tyler Cloyd, he could get promoted. He's 25 years old. He's ready. He's 12-1 with a 2.35 ERA in AAA this season. I believe that the Phillies are going to be selling one of their – they're probably going to sell Cliff Lee. I believe that. I think that they might be figuring out that a billion-dollar pitching rotation isn't going to cover it. And after this little spat with Jimmy Rollins, you know, having to hustle, it's not only that we're paying you Jimmy Rollins, but you're not hustling and you're – I mean, it'd be one thing if you were, like, old and injured, which we all know that that's coming – but it's attitude, and they don't like it. So I would think that there's going to be a lot of teams out there that will be happy to take over Jimmy Rollins' contract because there just aren't that many good shortstops in baseball. I hope it's not the Red Sox, but we'll have to see. I doubt it. They have a good young shortstop coming up anyway. Adam Eaton, Arizona, I don't know what they're waiting for with this guy. I mean, he is ready to come up. He has taken all the steps to get, you know, from the minor league, the A, the Double A, the Triple A, whatever, and he's done it all the whole time. He's batting .379. He's got 7 home runs, 45 RBIs, and 37 steals through 116 games for Triple A. He doesn't hardly ever strike out. And, you know, obviously with 37 steals in 116 games, the guy has above average speed. The Diamondbacks, like, it's not like they have a ton of it's not like they have a ton of speed on that team to worry about. But the big problem is the fact that they have Jason Kubel, who is definitely not going to lose his spot, Justin Upton, who is only going to keep his spot based on his name, and Chris Young in the outfield. So, and they also have Gerardo Parra for their backup, so it's kind of hard for them to bring up Adam Eaton. They also say that Trevor Bauer is coming back up. Look, man, I get letters back in the day, you know, when Trevor Bauer was coming up the first time, and people were telling me, should I trade Roy Halladay for Trevor Bauer? Number one, this is a dynasty league, okay, a keeper league. You do not trade Roy Halladay at his lowest value. Number two, you don't trade him for a guy like Trevor Bauer. I don't care what his stats say in the minor leagues. I don't care. I don't care if it's Steven Strasburg coming up. You don't trade Roy Halladay for a rookie. So don't. You saw what happened the first time. Don't go crazy spending all your money on this dude, you know, because there's going to be plenty of guys that are going to get you through this. We have, let's see, Chris Parmalee, first base, Minnesota. Now, I mean, look, it doesn't take a genius to figure out that Justin Morneau is not the guy we think he is. I mean, I understand he has the talent, but he doesn't, okay? He's injured. He is always injured. He's like Jacoby Ellsbury's dad or something. I don't know. He's just always injured, and he's injured with injuries that we didn't even know that he was injured with. I mean, when you're thinking that he's still injured with his concussion, now he has a broken thumb or some crap. I mean, regardless, he's just – I drafted Chris Parmalee in keeper leagues because I just felt that Justin Morneau was going to go down, and when he did – that will be that. Although, Chris Parmalee, look, they have plenty of spots for this guy. He's back up with the big league, so you know he's going to get some time. He didn't do very well the first time he was brought up. Bottom line, he's AAA'd out. He's done in AAA. It's not going to help this guy grow anymore to be down there. It's like, you know, keeping Bryce Harper down in the minors just because of his age. When there is no, you know, there's no competition in the minors anymore for you, and you're going out there and you're just beating up the ball every time it comes at you, you're just ripping the leather off of it, then it's not good for you and your growth to stay in the minors. I think that, of course, not at the same extent as Bryce Harper. Chris Parmalee has done his thing in AAA. Now he just has to prove whether or not he can translate into the major leagues, and that's that. This guy needs no more growing, no more training in the minors. It's going to be whether or not you're going to either make it or break it. I have my doubts about whether or not he's going to do well because of how good he does in the minors, and then when he comes up to the majors, how bad it is. The sample size is small, but we'll have to see about it. You know, Denard Span, he's got a shoulder injury, so Parmalee could get regular playing time. Regular playing time is gold right now in fantasy. So if Chris Parmalee does come up and he gets regular playing time because somebody's injured, a.k.a. Denard Span or Justin Morneau or Joe Mauer or, you know, blah, blah, then that's a guy to check out if you need some hits. Let's see. Okay, Ryan Wheeler for Arizona, third baseman. They have Chris Johnson. They have Chris Johnson in Arizona. But Ryan Wheeler is just now starting to see some regular at-bats. He was very good down in AAA. He had a .351 batting average with 15 home runs over 362 at-bats. And Chase Field is really good for guys like him. So check, you know, pay attention to him, Chris Johnson, him, whatever, platooning, that's another, you know, you don't like it that much. But hitting like he has been, he could continue to get some decent time. So, let's see, Brandon Barnes, outfielder, they say that he's an interesting player. Myself, I don't know anything about him. I'm just going to basically read right out of RotoWire because I'm not positive, but they're pretty good with their stats. He possesses the blend of speed and power that fantasy owners love. Unfortunately, that skill set has yet to translate to the big leagues. Oh, that's something new, right? We never see that. He's had successful stints at AA and AAA this season between the two minor league levels. In 399 at-bats, he's hit .311 and had a total of 12 home runs and 21 stolen bases. We like it. We like it a lot. This is a guy that can steal bases and hit for power. Although he's playing for Houston. That might actually be a benefit for him to get time because, you know, in Houston, when you bat below average, you might actually be considered decent. In Boston, or no, I can't say Boston this year, but in Oakland, if you hit below average, it makes you look really bad. Anyway, he's on the Astros, so that might give him a shot, and then that might be good. I like the players that are being brought up on these teams that aren't contending because I feel that they have a better shot at playing every day. The teams that are not contending are willing to let their players play every day because they want them to be better for next year. The better they are next year, the better their team will be. Let's see. Players looking to rebound or bounce back? We have just a few minutes, five more minutes. I'm going to go ahead and help you out a little bit more. Salty. It looks like Jared Saltalamacchia is on this list, and I know what. This guy's hitting like crazy right now. I mean, he has been hitting really good. He's got 22 home runs. For a catcher, you know, you can't complain. You can compare him to any other catcher in the league, and Salty has totally contended with any catcher in baseball as far as the power goes, you know, the RBIs, all that stuff. He's doing pretty good. And he's also, with David Ortiz, you know, supposedly David Ortiz wants to come back and he decided that he wasn't going to have some surgery or whatever, he wants to play. But Salty, because of David Ortiz's injury, could be playing DH as well as catcher. I mean, when you have a guy that's hitting that well, your DH is the guy that's hitting good that you don't have room for on the field. Now, LeVarnway is brought up, you know, in Boston as well, and the fact that Boston isn't contending for anything means that LeVarnway will probably get a little more at-bats than he would if the Red Sox were contending and they were, you know, trying to really focus on winning games. At this point, I think that Bobby Valentine is looking like LeVarnway could save his job, and he really has taken LeVarnway under his wing as one of his favorite people. I think that because of that, you're going to see LeVarnway behind the plate, learning how to do with the pitchers. And, you know, Bobby Valentine knows that a big part of the problem on this club is the pitching staff. And, you know, as a Red Sox fan, I saw Jason Varitek left, you know, John Farrell left, and the Red Sox pitching fell apart. You have pitchers with total, you know, skill sets that are pitching like minor leaguers. And you have Daniel Bard, who was trained to be a relief pitcher, where Bobby Valentine said, you're a relief pitcher, not a starter. And everybody insisted, we're giving Daniel Bard a chance to be a starter. Now, really messed with his head, and I think that Bobby Valentine has a plan. And part of his plan is getting LeVarnway trained to be a leader and a catcher because the catching spot matters. The catching position matters. Your pitchers rely on your catcher. If you don't have a catcher in there that they trust, you don't have a catcher in there that you can communicate well with, you don't have a bond with your catcher, then you're not going to pitch as well. The catcher has a lot to do with the success of the pitching rotation, and I think that the Red Sox are going to try to focus a little bit more on that. I think that I'm happy that Bobby Valentine sees that. I'm happy that he didn't want to make Bard a starter in the first place, you know. Right now there's some rumor going around that Daniel Bard is going to be traded for a new manager. You know, Daniel Bard came out in an interview a couple nights ago. You know, I try to listen to everything the guy says, and he says, you know, all I know is that I'm a relief pitcher. That's all I know. And, you know, it sucks for him because here's a guy that should have just basically taken over Papelbon's spot right then. There is no reason for him to ever been pushed into that spot, messing around with his head. He never got his stuff together all season. He still goes out there with a frightened face, like a dog in headlights, you know. Daniel Bard is a good pitcher, and I think that, you know, putting him back into the relief role where he should have been in the first place, giving him that spot back, is going to be good. I don't think the Red Sox are trying to sell him for a manager. They're going to give Bobby Valentine a shot. They have to, at least through the end of the season. You can't fire everybody on your team or trade him away to prove a point and then fire the manager. You can next season, though, when he screws up. You can if you get John Farrell, that's for sure. And don't think the Red Sox aren't given 100% to try and get John Farrell. If they have to give Daniel Bard away to get John Farrell, they'll probably do it. Although, it's, I mean, that's who they want, and I hope they get him as a Red Sox fan. So, everybody, thanks for listening to the show, and let's see, what will we leave you with? Let's leave you with some songs. Here we go. Have a good one.
DJ Khaled. Hey.
Yeah.
All I do is win, 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 no matter what. Got money on my mind, I can never get enough. And every time I step up in the building, everybody hands go up. And they stay there. And they say yeah. And they say that.
Won't stop now. Whoa. Keep your hands up, get them in the sky for the homies that they make it in my folks locked down. I never went nowhere, but they saying Luda's back. Yeah. Blame it on that contour, the hood call it Luda Yak. Hey. And I'm on this foolish track, so I spit my foolish flow. My hands go up and down, down, like strippers' booties go. Woo. My verses still be serving, tight like a million virgins. Yeah. Last time on a college remix, now I'm on the original version. Ah. Can't never count me out, y'all better count me in. Got 20 bank accounts.
Like cash being wasted on John Lackey, so are the days of our lives. Fenway Park Edition.
There does seem always to be a piece of melodrama floating around.
On the next episode of this soap opera.
You know, everyone's trying to get the manager fired.
But Bobby's not surprised.
Well, from what I gather, it's common, it's what happens here.
Larry picks a scapegoat.
The press has been brutal, to be sure.
And Tom Werner becomes delusional.
Every year we seem to run off a 9 or 10 game winning streak, so maybe this will be the start of something.
Josh Beckett continues to suck.
It's a work in progress, I guess. Still shitty results.
The players have secret meetings.
Source is inaccurate. It says that I was animated and one of the most vocal guys in the meeting, and that's false.
Will Carl Crawford's elbow fall off?
The elbow situation's kind of trending in the wrong way.
Will Bobby Valentine be fired?
I guess a decision will be made one way or another.
Find out on the next Days of Our Lives, Fenway Park Edition.
Hell yeah!